We're going to talk this morning for a little while about positive change in 2017. Are you up for positive change in 2017? That's fantastic to hear. So I'm going to read a strange reading this morning from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. It says, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide, they are the little boxes they wear on their heads and on their arms with the Shema in. They make them wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So in this reading, as we find when Jesus often speaks to the Pharisees, he gives them a right telling off. He rebukes them because they were not prepared to embrace positive change in their lives. Now, would you like a reminder to embrace positive change in 2017? I want to tell you an inspirational story from a non-Christian, just to get us going on this New Year's Day. This story is about stopping drinking. So this isn't pointed at anybody here in particular, okay? But it could be about anger or gossiping or disobedience. It could be about loving your wife or your husband. It could be about blaming. It could be about unforgiveness. It could be about anything and everything in your life. And this lady, her name is Brooke, she starts off by saying, "It's been 1 year..." And this is right up to date. She says, "It's been 1 year since I stopped drinking." Okay, she said, I was tired of the chatter. I wanted to not want it. So I decided I wanted to feel anxious instead of drink. I decided I wanted to feel bored, restless, nervous, and agitated instead of drink. I wanted to be conscious to what was true. I haven't had a drink since. And here's what I love about it. Early mornings and the smell of coffee, sleeping through the night, my dinner and grocery bills, remembering everything my kids say at night, watching drunk people think they are having fun, driving after dinner, reading after dinner, my weight, my ability to manage my emotions without it. But the best thing by far is using my brain for something else. I'm so proud of myself, so happy for myself. I don't want or need it. New Year's Eve, I'll be with my kids, kicking their butts at Exploding Kittens. That's a card game, by the way, in case you didn't know. I'll wake up, I Googled it, you okay? I'll wake up early on the first day of 2017, clear and ready to go. I invite all you drinkers to consider it. Much love, Brooke." What an amazing story. I like the spirit of this lady. She may not be a Christian, but she's got an amazing spirit. She is not far from the kingdom of God. Now, this lady's experience was with drink, but as I said, it could be about unforgiveness. It could be about anger. It could be about blaming. It could be about loving your wife or your husband. But this lady had learned that her habit, drinking, in other words, impaired her senses. It caused sleeplessness. It affected her ability to be with her kids. And above all, it diminished her ability to think rationally, let alone spiritually. She had engaged in extensive reflection on her life, on drink, and on what it was doing to her. So I want to make a point here about the importance of reflection in order to change. You see, change is usually preceded by a period of reflection in which we as Christians listen to God and learn from our mistakes. We listen to God and we learn from our mistakes. Without this serious reflection and hearing from the Lord about our lives, about our habits, change will not happen. The Pharisees, you see, wouldn't even reflect. They had no need to listen to Jesus. They had their reasons, and oftentimes when we don't want to change, we have our reasons. They blindly accepted what was handed down to them. We today can have all the knowledge, listen to all the sermons, read the Bible from cover to cover, but without serious reflection in our lives, in the light of the Bible and God's voice to us, you or I, we simply will not change. We will reach New Year's Eve 2017 and nothing will have changed in our lives. So that's the first point I want to make, is the need for serious reflection, not just today, because this is an ongoing thing in our lives. I challenge you in 2017 to be a person of reflection, who draws aside, a person who spends time with Jesus listening to what he wants to tell you about your life. You see, I can tell you. We can all tell each other, but actually change only really happens when we hear the voice of God in our lives. I used to be a social drinker, and about 10 years ago I heard the voice of God telling me to give up drink completely. I struggled with it for a while because I like to have a social drink, but without the voice of God I would never have changed. I would never have given up and done what God had asked me to do. So that's the first thing. The second point I want to make is, once you hear the voice of God, once you know what you have to do, once you learn from experience and from the mistakes that you have made in the past, secondly, you make a decision. You make a serious decision, because there are decisions and there are decisions. So on the back of reflection, Brooke is her name, she made a serious decision. She decided to not want to drink. She said that she decided not to want it. So what is it that you have decided not to want in your life? Okay, it's surplus to requirements. It's something you don't need in your life in 2017. Have you or I reflected sufficiently? And have you decided seriously? Your reflection needs to be followed through with an authentic, a real, and a serious decision. Okay, so you reflect, then you make a decision, and then you take action. Simples, okay? It's that simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy. I underscore that point today. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it all the time. Applying, taking action means that we do what God has told us to do, whether we've learned it from experience, from the voice of God, from the Bible, or from good Christian teaching. You see, we possess a lot of information today about life, about the Bible, and about Christian doctrine. You and I, we are the most informed generation that has ever existed. In years gone by, only experts had access to this information. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the teachers were the important people in the community because they were in possession of the information. Before that, it was the church who was in possession of the information. But today, all of us have been included in this access to all the information that's out there that you could ever want or need. What do? You Google it, okay? And most of the information that you need is there for you. I Google all the time. So let me put this in terms of playing a game. Take football, for example. We may know all the rules, but if we know the rules, we must play by the rules. The problem is that much of the church today, and I'm not necessarily talking about present company, as they say, present company excluded, much of the church today doesn't play by the rules of Christ. We may know the rules, but very often we don't apply them. Christians drink to excess, they don't love their spouses, or worse still, they cheat, they commit adultery, they are disloyal, they refuse to forgive, they play the blame game, they are negative, and Christians even gossip. All this stuff happens even though they, or perhaps sometimes we, know the teachings of Christ. We are educated far beyond our ability to obey. That's what somebody once said. We are educated far beyond our obedience. So I'm not here this morning to judge, but to point out what I think part of the problem is. The problem is, first of all, we haven't reflected sufficiently on our lives to be able to make an authentic decision about our habits and our lifestyle. We are not in touch with God about the things that we need to be in touch with Him about. Without reflection and without a real decision, we will not change. In our church, I believe that small groups are essential for follow-up, for action, and for application of the Sunday message. These are places where we can discuss, where we can clarify, and where we can make serious decisions about implementing the teachings of Christ in our lives. We are too often like players who get into the team and we want to learn the next skill without having practiced the one we have just learned. We don't really know how to apply what we have learned. We end up knowing a great deal but doing very little. So this year we need to reflect more, we need to decide, make quality decisions, and we need to apply or take action on those decisions. But application, while it might be simple, it's not easy. Doing is simple, but it's not easy. And here are my three rules for application, for doing. And these rules are inflexible, okay? For me, these rules don't change, okay? Number one, you must get into the game and you must stay there. You've got to get into the game and you must stay there. You might know all the knowledge about the game. You might even understand the offside rule, which I don't understand, okay? I don't think anybody understands it. But you may know everything about it, but if we don't get into the game, we won't make progress. That simply means that we have to start practicing what God has shown us. So you may say, practicing what? And I would say, you practice whatever God says to you. You practice whatever He shows you. That's the key. What's God saying to you about your life in 2017? Forget all the things you've read on the internet about what you should be doing. Okay, and the changes you should be making. The key for you and me is, what is God saying to you in 2017? I challenge you, I challenge myself to get before God and seriously listen to the voice of God in our lives for 2017. So it might be God will say to you, you know, you need to read the Bible more. God might say to you, you need to give up drinking. God might say to you, you need to give up smoking. God might say to the men, particularly, you need to take responsibility in your family. You just back out far too often and leave it to your wife. Yeah? So God may speak to you and say, step up to the mark and take responsibility. And He mightn't even let the women off either, because God might say to the women, you need to stop gossiping. Sorry about that one. He might say to you, you need to... well, maybe men gossip as well, I don't know. But God might say to you, you know, you need to stop controlling. You need to stop thinking fearful and insecure thoughts. Stop feeling angry. So this year, start working on it. You know, we have the power of an almighty God on our sides. The Word of God says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And through Him, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So if God says to you, you've got an anger problem and I'm going to help you with it, then I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There may be an intractable problem in your life, an intractable habit, a habit that has not gone away, a habit that you have not been able to overcome. But by the grace of God and by the power of God, in 2017, you will conquer and you will be an overcomer, because He can help you to be free from everything. This is what it says in Acts of the Apostles. He can help you to be free from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. The law will tell you, the law will inform you, but the law will not give you the power to be the person that God has called you to be in 2017. You see, the Pharisees knew all the answers. They were the Orthodox Christians, if you like, of the day. However, while they knew what to do, and they expected others to do it, they didn't practice it themselves, and they were not prepared to change. It's called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the curse of religion. The growing difference, and I say growing, about LifeSpring and churches like us is that we don't just talk, we do. For example, we don't just talk about not gossiping, we don't gossip, full stop. We don't just tell others around us in the church what to do or in our community, we don't tell them what to do, we do it ourselves. We are serious disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. We are red letter Christians. We look at what Jesus says and we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. You must get into the game and stay there. Secondly, you must know the purpose of the game. That's the second rule. In football, the purpose is to defend your goal and to get the ball in the other opponent's goal. Everyone knows that. Our purpose in church is to share Jesus and to save lives. That is our purpose in 2017. That is not going to change. That's the why of our existence. The reason we exist as a church is just simple. It's simply to share Jesus and to save lives. Everything we do as a church flows into making Jesus known, making him famous in our area. You know, Viktor Frankl once said after the Second World War, when he was caught up in the Holocaust, he said, "He who has a why to live for can put up with anyhow." Yes, people may persecute you. People may come against you. People may criticize you for being. People may do all sorts of things to you as a Christian. It may happen in your families. But if you have a why to live for, you will put up with anyhow. We are serving the greatest purpose and the greatest king of all time. So, my three rules. First of all, get into the game and stay there. Number two, you must know the purpose of the game. And number three, you must work with your teammates. That's the third rule. We are not lone rangers. The Ronaldos of football, the fabulously skilled professionals in whatever field, have all had to learn the importance of the role of their teammates. You know, our teammates, they exist to help us. We exist to help them and to achieve the purpose for which God has called us. Our teammates are working to a plan. And this plan involves a lot of work behind the scenes, not just on the big day, not just the Sunday or the Barry Woodward or the Christmas party or the giveaway of the hampers. These are big wins for our church, and we've had some fabulous wins over Christmas. And they are great for morale, but they can only be achieved with a great team working hard behind the scenes. So, in summing up this morning, in 2017, we want to embrace positive change and avoid being armchair Christians, like armchair footballers. Armchair footballers, they shout at the telly. They know what others should be doing. They have great knowledge about the game. They shout advice at the players and the manager, and they criticize the referee. However, they never get into the game. Are we going to be like that in 2017? I believe not. Yeah? Get involved. As a Christian, we may have great understanding of the purpose of the Christian life, the principles of discipleship, the importance of unity, and how others should be behaving. But we never really get involved in sharing Jesus or in saving lives, or indeed all the work that goes off behind the scenes that enables that to happen. So is this me, that I seldom get involved or lift a finger to help my teammates? This year, let's avoid being armchair Christians and embrace positive change. Make this year a year to tackle negativity, to stop gossiping, to refuse to blame, to take responsibility, to forgive, to stop drinking, maybe even to stop smoking. Make this year a year in which you decide that you will get involved in the game. The three questions that will define this coming year for you are, number one, from experience and reflection, do I know what I want to change? I can make all sorts of suggestions to you. I can tell you all sorts of things. But from prayer, reflection, experience, do you know what you need to change in your life? That's the first question. Number two, have I made an authentic decision? That's the second step, is make it an authentic decision to be different and to change. Have an incredible hunger and desire for change in your life. Be prepared to do whatever it takes to be different, to be more like Christ during this coming year. Do whatever it takes. Make decisions that mean I will do whatever needs to be done in order to make that decision. And number three, am I prepared to pay the price to do what I have decided? Do I know what I want to change? Have I made an authentic decision? And am I willing to pay the price to take action on my decision? At the beginning of 2018, next year, will I be able to say, I am so proud of myself that I allowed Christ to change me. I am so happy for myself, for my family, and for my church community. Christ is enough for me. I don't want or need any crutches. I am free, free to love, free to give, free to get involved, free to serve, free to be. New Year's Eve, next year, I'll be with my kids, kicking their butts at the latest game. I'll wake up early on the first day of 2018, just as most of you have today, clear and ready to go.